very first time. My name is Mark. I'm the pastor here. And you picked a great day to come. It's the first Sunday of Advent. We'll get into what that means here in a little bit. But if you are new here, I've never met you, I'd love to meet you right after church. I'll be out there at the welcome area. We've got a free gift that we'd love to give you today. We would just love to just take a couple minutes after church, say hi to you. You've got questions, if we can pray for you, help you in any way at all we possibly can. Then we'll be at the welcome area right there in the middle of the lobby. We'd love to connect with you today. Hey, I tell you what, I'm going to pray for us one more time, and we're going to dive into some things this morning. Will you pray with me today? Spirit of God, it's a gift. It is a gift to be able to come into a place like this and start our weeks by setting our hearts on you, by setting our minds, fixing our attention onto you today. And God, I pray that you'd help us to know before we woke up this morning, your attention was fixed on us. God, before we woke up this morning, we were in your sight. God, we were loved by you. And Father, I pray that you would just open up our hearts. God, help us to open up our hearts for everything you would want to say to us today and you would want to do in us, through us. God, nobody needs to hear really anything that I say, but God, we need to hear from you as we begin this Advent season. So Jesus, speak in a clear way today. And everybody said, amen. Amen. How many people here hate waiting? Anybody put your hand up? I'm not a fan of waiting. If you tell me go to the waiting room, that's just a horrible opportunity for me. I can't believe there are things called waiting rooms. I hate waiting. And built into the Christmas season is waiting. Look, you may get them. Wait for Christmas morning. Or some of you, maybe you're really excited about this season because you're going to see family. And so you're waiting to see family. Maybe you've been with family. You're waiting for this season to end to get away from family. I have no idea where you might be today. But built into this season is waiting. And every time, right, every year at this time, we celebrate what the church has always called Advent. Advent is just another word that means waiting. That's all it means. Advent just means waiting. And the reason it means waiting is because at this time of year, as we move in, we bring ourselves around the Christmas story, we talk about the birth of Jesus, we're reminded that God's people, the Israelites in the Old Testament, they were waiting for the Messiah to come. So they were waiting for Jesus to come, and then we celebrate that. But also, for you and me, we're waiting for Jesus to come back. So it's not as if, oh man, they were waiting for Jesus to come, we remember them. No, listen, we're still waiting. We're waiting for Jesus to come back. And so around this season, every year, we just want to rally ourselves around what it means to enter into a season of waiting and remember that Jesus has come and that he's coming again. And so what I want to do this morning, I just want to lay a foundation for where we're going to go as a church over the next 4 or 5 Sundays. I love this season. One of the reasons I love this season is because if you are here and, you know, you're kind of new to church, maybe you're new to Christianity, or you've got friends that are not saved, and they're like, man, what is Christianity about? What is church about? You know, you're just trying to kick the tires, if you will, on this whole spirituality thing. I think there's no clearer time in the year if you want to know what is God really like. If you want to get close to the heart of God, then Advent is just a clear reminder on our calendar every year of this is who God is. And so what you're supposed to do every year at this time is you're supposed to rally around and you're supposed to go to the Christmas story. And a lot of times we open up, say, the Gospel of Matthew. We open up the Gospel of Luke or John. But when you do that, man, you're walking right into the middle of the story. You know what I mean? I mean, you don't watch The Empire Strikes Back first. Somebody said amen. Right? You've got to start with A New Hope. But you've got to start at the very beginning. So if you want to go right to the beginning of the Christmas story starts in Genesis 1:1. Okay? Genesis 1:1. And by the way, we're doing a lot of Bible this morning, so hang with me. But Genesis 1:1 is where the Christmas story starts. Look at it. It's on the screen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, don't miss this verse because you know it. Don't miss it because you're familiar with it. Notice, this is how the Bible starts. God was already God. God didn't get promoted to be God. He didn't, you know, apply for the position and somehow got the job. God was already there. God has always been God. He's always existed. But notice with me, there's two places. There's heaven, that's where God is, and there's earth, that's where we are. So Genesis 1 is going to culminate in Genesis 1:27, where God creates everything. In verse 27, it says that God made man and woman in his image. But notice with me, heaven and earth, heaven is where God is, earth is where we are. And a lot of times, we think that those places are separated, don't we? Like heaven is real far away. You know, we think God is out there. But in the author's imagination of Genesis, Moses writes the book of Genesis, heaven and earth are overlapping. It's a really big deal. Heaven and earth are not separated. They're overlapping. So the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve were, when you think of the Garden of Eden, think heaven and earth perfectly overlapping, not separate. And what God wanted from the very beginning of time is God wanted to come down into what he had made to be with his people. So Adam and Eve, you read Genesis 1-3, Adam and Eve are walking with God. They're talking to God. Then Adam is naming the animals. They're literally working with God, Summit, to build this brand new world. And then it all falls apart, doesn't it? Right, Genesis 3, it all falls apart. Sin enters into the world. And notice this with me, though. Sin enters into the world. And let's go to the next slide. Look at these verses here. Genesis 3, 23-24. Look what happens to Adam and Eve when they sin. So the Lord banished them from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which it had been taken. And God drives Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. And God actually puts an angel with a sword going back and forth so they can't go back into the Garden of Eden. What happened? What happened is Adam and Eve were separated from God, but they were also separated from the place where they were supposed to be God. So they were separated from God, and they were separated from the place that God had them. But here's the thing about God. Right there at the beginning, when Adam and Eve, when humanity turned away from God, God says, I'm going to step in one day, and I'm going to fully and finally fix the mess that just happened. God gives this verse, Genesis 3:15. He says this, I will put enmity between you. He's talking to Satan. I will put enmity, let's go to the next slide if we can. I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. And so there's the very first promise in the Bible that Jesus is going to come. And so you fast forward there and you get to Genesis 12. And then you meet a guy named Abraham. And God comes to Abraham in Genesis 12. And God makes a promise with Abraham that's already on the screen. And God says to Abraham, look at this. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I'll curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Man, that sounds exactly what God wanted to do in the Garden of Eden. Hey, Adam and Eve, let's build this perfect place and let's just walk together, man. Let's talk together. And they mess that up. God comes to Abraham. Hey, man, listen, if you leave where you are, let's go to a perfect place I'm going to build. And let's build a people. And let's just have this perfect relationship the way that everything ought to be. So this is exactly what God wanted to do right from the beginning, have a place where God can come down and be with his people. And so Abraham eventually has a son. His name's Isaac. Isaac has a son. His name is Jacob. And if you know a little bit of the Old Testament, you know that Jacob one night has a vision. You ever heard of Jacob's ladder? You ever heard of this, right? Jacob has this vision of a ladder from heaven to earth, and angels are going up and down on it. Look at it. I think it's going to be on the screen here. Look at Genesis 28. 12 to 15. Jacob has a dream in which he sees a stairway resting on earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God, for look at this summit, ascending and descending on it. So Jacob has this vision, man, heaven and earth, they're real close. They're not separated. They're actually overlapping. Heaven and earth, Jacob, his eyes are open to see, you know what, man, heaven and earth are so close, there's actually a staircase from heaven to earth, and angels, people can go up and down on this staircase. And so Jacob has a vision of heaven coming down to earth. He's got this vision of heaven coming down to earth, and then God takes Jacob and changes his name to Israel. And Israel has 12 sons. Then you fast forward to the book of Exodus, and Israel, they're slaves in Egypt. You know this story. And God sends Moses to bring Israel out of slavery. And man, if you've ever read one of those Bible reading plans, you know what I'm talking about, where you start reading the Bible in Genesis 1, and you're supposed to read all the way through the Bible. Genesis is a pretty awesome read, and you get into Exodus and you're like, man, I'm moving and shaking, baby. This is a fun time. And then all of a sudden you get to Exodus 21, and God starts talking about this thing called the tabernacle and different fabric that you needed to use to make curtains and different kinds of gopher wood and all kinds of weird things. And you're like, what happened to the Bible? This don't make no sense at all, because God spends chapter after chapter in the book of Exodus on how to build this thing that he called the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a portable tent where everywhere Israel went, they were supposed to build this tent right in the middle of the 12 tribes. And whenever they were going to move, the first thing that went up was the tabernacle. The first thing they built before they went to their homes was the tabernacle. What is the tabernacle? Listen to me. The tabernacle was a place where God would come down. And the tabernacle was eventually going to give way to the temple. The temple is an actual building in Jerusalem that Solomon and David are going to build. And it's a place where God would live. This is why one of the things that always had to happen in the tabernacle and the temple 24/7 was animal sacrifices. This is why you get a book like Leviticus. And I don't even talk about Leviticus. Y'all love that book. You got to memorize. But you get a book like Leviticus, which is animal sacrifice. It's just weird. It sounds like something from another planet. The reason you have to have these sacrifices over and over and over is because Old Testament law says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. And so there's just constant sacrifices for sin so that we can go into the presence of God. And Solomon, right before he builds the temple, this building where God will live, says this verse, 2 Chronicles 6:18. He says, will God really dwell on earth with humans? The heavens, even the highest heavens, can't contain you. How much less this temple that I have built? So get this into your mind. Some of you are like, this is moving fast. What are we doing here? Here's what we're doing. Everybody breathe real quick. Okay, let's slow down. What are we doing? Get this into your mind. The whole Old Testament is about how God wanted to lead people to come down to where we are. That's the whole point. What's the Old Testament about? And God just keeps trying to lead people and coming down into Eden and a tabernacle and a temple and sin and idolatry gets in the way. But the whole time this is going on, you start to have prophets like the prophet Isaiah, who started this talk this way. Look at this. Some of you guys have this on your Christmas card this year. Isaiah 7:14. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. Now, you know the Christmas story, right? You've seen the Charlie Brown Christmas special. Linus has told this story every year. You know that this is exactly what the angel tells Joseph when he says that Mary is going to have a boy, and you're going to name him Jesus. Jesus, he will be called Emmanuel. Here's a question. What does Emmanuel mean? Some of you are saying it right now. What's it mean? Say it real loud. Emmanuel means God what? You say, God with us. Not out there. And we've got to work our way to him. We got to figure out how to go where he is. No, God from the get-go has the whole point. From Eden to the tabernacle to the temple, and God says, no, 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 forget this. I'm going to do it myself. And God puts on skin in the person of Jesus, and Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That word dwelling in the original language, it literally means tabernacle. So Jesus Christ is now the place where heaven and earth meet. This is why Jesus heals diseases, because in Jesus' kingdom there is no sickness. This is why Jesus drives out demons, because in Jesus' kingdom the forces of darkness have been defeated. Remember Jacob's ladder? Remember that? Jacob sees this staircase going from heaven to earth. Look at what Jesus says about himself. John 1, verse 51. Jesus added, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus says, I'm that staircase. I am the place, Jesus says, where heaven and earth overlap. And people, Jesus, talk this way all the time. Jesus starts his ministry. He talks about this place called the kingdom of God. And you know the prayer. You know the Lord's prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom what? Hear that? Your kingdom what? Come on where? Earth as it is where? Your kingdom come. Jesus doesn't teach us to pray. Hey, Jesus, let's go to your kingdom. God, we're coming to your kingdom. No. Jesus says, no, 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 no. The kingdom is coming down to where we are. And so Jesus on the cross, Jesus is the fulfillment of every animal sacrifice. Jesus is the fulfillment of every Old Testament prophecy. Jesus, before he goes back to heaven, says, one day I am coming back the same way I'm about to leave. And we're waiting for him to do that. But the Bible tells us exactly what it's going to look like when Jesus does come back. Look at it. Revelation 21, 1 to 12. 1 to 2. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. Look at this. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming where? Down. Say it again. Coming where? Coming down. Out of heaven, from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. So where does this end? Where does the story of God end? There's another way to say it. Where does history end? Exactly where it started. God built a perfect place filled with people, perfect people, in a perfect relationship with God. The story of God, history, started in a garden, but somehow it ends in a city. So the whole point of your Bible is God just keeps saying that we got to get out of here. We got to get out of this place, and we got to get down to what I've made. We got to get down to where these people are. And listen, man, if you want to know what God is like, somebody listen to me. The heart of God has always been to be with his people. That is God's heart. How does God do it? Here's how God does it. God comes down. And here's the deal. This absolutely changes everything we think about the Christian life. Because so many times, we think that the goal of the Christian life is to get out of here and go to where? Heaven, right? A lot of people, man, that's all we think. Maybe that's all you heard growing up Christianity was about. You give your life to Jesus, and then you wait so that you can go to heaven when you die. Now check this out. The Bible says that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So every single follower of Jesus who dies before Jesus comes back, instantly in that moment, their soul leaves this body and they are in the presence of God. Jesus says we don't even see death. So as soon as this life ends for a follower of Jesus, they are instantly in heaven with God in his presence. But Revelation 21 says, listen, that's not where things end, and that's not even the goal. Things end with the goal being all of heaven is coming down to this earth with Jesus, because Jesus is going to make all things new. Jesus is going to wipe out death. He's going to wipe out disease. He's going to dry every tear. And so, listen, your Bible does not end with all of us getting out of this place. Your Bible ends with God and everything he's ever made in heaven coming down to this earth and making all things new. And we will be with him, and he will be with us forever. That's where your Bible is going. That's where history is going. Here's this. Christianity is the only faith in the world that says God comes down to us because we can't go up. There is no other faith in the world that says this. No other faith in the world says Christian says God puts on skin, comes down because we're trying to go up to him. If you're a Muslim, the goal is to please Allah so that one day Allah will accept you into paradise. What is that? You're going up. You got to work hard. You got to be a good person. You got to measure up, and hopefully Allah's going to let you in. You're Jewish. The goal of Judaism is to obey the Torah in such a way that you are allowed into the heavenly kingdom. What is that? It's going up. So you keep the Ten Commandments. You follow the rules. You try to be a good person. And hopefully you obey the Torah enough so that you can work your way in. It's going up. Here's the deal. Forget faith. Forget religion. We talk this way as Americans. What is the American? How do you achieve it? Here's the way that we talk about it. We talk this way. You need to climb the corporate ladder. And you build a life by climbing the corporate ladder, promotion after promotion, making this much money, hopefully getting early retirement so you can travel, live all of your dreams. What is that? It is a way of salvation going up. You working your way up. Christianity is the only faith in the world that says, no, 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 no. God comes down because we cannot. If we could save ourselves, Jesus didn't need to come at all. Amen? Jesus had to come because none of us can save ourselves. And so many times as Christians, we have a hard time believing this stuff because we carry around so much shame and so much guilt. We know our past. We know our doubts. We know what we've done, and nobody else knows. Maybe you had a church background where you got this image of God where God is just in heaven and he's got this itchy trigger finger and he's just waiting for you to mess up. Because God is always angry. He's always upset. He's always disappointed with you. And watch this. If your view of God is God is always upset with you, then you will take Christianity and you will morph it into you trying to work your way into God's likeness. You'll change it into you trying to work your way into the love of God. So you're trying to be good so that God's not mad at you today. Man, I hear people all the time say this. Mark, I'm sorry I missed last Sunday. I know that's so mad. And listen, I'm pro-church. I started. But man, can you imagine the burden you must bear if you miss Sunday because your alarm doesn't go off and now all of a sudden God's kicked? So many Christians walk around with little real awareness of the love of God for them. And so many Christians have little to no assurance of their salvation. So many Christians have this sneaking suspicion, what if Jesus didn't pay it off? And we're trying to pay off like 1%. Here's a question for you. I want you to think this. Don't list this out loud. Do it in your own heart. When God thinks about you, what do you think he thinks? Don't do this for anybody but yourself. When God thinks about you, teenager, moms and dads, when God thinks about you, single folks, when God thinks about you, what do you think goes through his mind? I have no idea who said this, so I can't give him credit, but I heard this one time and it stuck with me. Every single person alive, regardless of how young or old they are, all people want three things. Every single person alive wants three things. One, they want to be known. They just want to know that somebody knows them to the core of who they are, and even though they know they're known to the core of who they are, they're accepted. They want to know that they matter, that they're not insignificant. We all want to be known. Second thing every single person wants is everyone wants to know we're loved and have value. Every single one of us, at the core of who we are, want to know that we love and have value. Some of us, that's why we can't take a day off. That's why we can't rest. That's why we're working ourselves to the bone, because our significance is wrapped up in our love. Number three, we want to belong. We just don't want to be left out. We want to find a place where no matter who I am, I belong. And can I just take something this morning? God came down. God came down to give you all three. Number one, in Christ, you are known. In Christ, you're known. He knows your name. He knows your background. He knows your secrets. And in Christ, you are loved more than you can ever imagine. Amen? Man, you woke up this morning accepted by the God of the universe. Hello? 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 Oh, come on. Hello? Right? Somebody like, I don't know. I think the person over there is accepted. But man, you should have seen me on Tuesday. Right? No, listen, man, the blood of Jesus is strong enough, bro. Listen, if you're in Christ, you woke up today a son or a daughter of God. Amen? Like you woke up that way. You woke up known by God. In Christ, you're known by God. And you woke up this morning loved by God, and you have value. See, the world says that we've got value based on what we do, based on our performance. God says, no, listen, regardless of your performance, you don't have to produce anything. You are. Because the love of God for us is in Christ. And listen, man, if you want a place to belong, in Christ you belong. In Christ you belong. You are accepted, and not even death can separate you from the love of God. And so Advent means waiting. And I don't know what you're waiting on this morning, but can I just tell you something? None of us who are followers of Jesus are waiting to be known. We're already known. None of us who are followers of Jesus this morning are waiting for someone to love us. We're already loved. None of us who are followers of Jesus this morning are waiting to find a people and a place where we belong. We already have a place and a people we belong with. We are a part of the people of God, and we are citizens of his kingdom now. And you just woke up with that on you today. And so Christianity, just receive this, all right? I know you know the Christmas story. I know you've got it on your bumper sticker and you share it on Facebook. But check this out. Christianity shows that God has been all of history to come down for people like us. From Eden's, God says, this is how this is going to go. I am coming down for all of them. Go to the next slide. Did you see this picture a couple months ago? Did you see this? Man, a couple of months ago, I don't know where this came from. But everybody was sharing this online. Like this image went viral, and it was all over Facebook, Instagram, it was on TikTok, on Twitter. Man, this thing was all over the place. I have no idea where it came from, but this image of you can see Jesus running to save this land. Man, this image just resonated with me. And I saw people share this on Facebook that aren't Christians at all. I saw people talking about this thing that have never been to our church or any church at all. And can I just tell you, this image is exactly what God has done for Christmas. This image is you and me. We're that lamb that's stuck in the mess, stuck in the mire. And what has Jesus done? Jesus has been all of history to bring us home. Jesus has been all of time to bring you and me into a relationship with God. Don't get so familiar with the Christmas story that you lose sight of everything God has done to bring you home to him. That from Eden, God looked down the corridor of time, saw you, and said, I'm coming. And then once y'all got you, I will never leave. So can we just do this this morning? Can we just do this? And I don't know where you are, and I don't know what your situation looks like, and I get it. The holidays are a stressful time for people. They're a hard time for people. I don't know a ton of people that just dread this time of year because of the emotions and things that it brings up. I don't know what you're waiting on. I don't know what you're carrying today. But in the face of all of it, can we just look at all of this morning and take the time in our time of response just to say to God, God, thank you for everything that you have done to bring me home. God, thank you for everything you have done to bring me here today. God, thank you for everything you've done to bring me into your family. God, there's still a mess, and yet this stinks, and it's hard. And God, I'm hoping that you heal. I'm hoping you deliver. But God, thank you that you brought me right here today. Don't get so familiar with the Christmas story that we lose sight of the fact that we live in a world where Jesus Christ has walked on this planet. And man, he did it for you. And I know you're going through a lot. And I know you're carrying a lot of hard things you've never told anybody about. But can we take a second in our time of response, just in the face of all of it, just like a cry of rebellion in the face of everything the enemy would want to put in front of us, to say, man, you can't thank God. Look at all the junk in your life. In the face of all of it, just to look at God and say, God, thank you for where I am. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for everything you've done to bring me home. Would you just bow your heads this morning as we move into a time of prayer? And literally this morning, I just want to challenge you to do that. Challenge you this morning to just have that cry of rebellion where your heart says to God, in the face of all of the trials you might be having, going through, and everything you're carrying, just to still say, God, thank you. And here's the deal. We've got prayer counselors who are making their way up right now. If you need prayer this morning, you're discouraged, you're carrying stuff, man, don't carry it alone. We want to walk with you in it. We want to help you with it. And listen, we would love to pray over you this morning. So if you need prayer, just make your way out of your seat. You come forward this morning. But wherever you are this morning, can you just take a second right now, in this time of response, just to say to God, God, thank you. Just do that this morning. And don't wait for your emotions to lead the way. Don't say, oh man, well, I got to wait till my life gets perfect and better before I do that. Listen, if that's the case, we're never going to do it. None of us are ever going to have a perfect life. In this world, we will have trouble. What Jesus said, but take heart, he's overcome the world. And so let's just take a minute and say to God, God, thank you for saving me. Just say that to him right now. God, thank you for everything you've done to bring me home. Just say that to me. God, thank you that from the very beginning you planned for me to know you. Just say that to me. Yeah, just say, God, thank you that Jesus is still coming. Thank you that darkness doesn't win, that death doesn't win, that the kingdom of God is coming. Jesus, thank you. And so, God, right now, this first Sunday of Advent, God, we just make the choice right now. We choose to give you praise. We choose to say we're thankful. We choose to rejoice. God, in the face of brokenness and discontent and disappointment, God, we choose right now to say, Jesus, thank you that we are that lamb stuck in the mud and the mire. And Jesus, you are running after us. Listen, some of the mistake that we would make this time of year is to think that Jesus came into the world like he ran into the world thousands of years ago, but he's not doing it now. No, listen, Jesus Christ is running in this room right now. Jesus Christ is in this room right now. He's running after hearts filled with bitterness. He's running after hearts filled with disappointment. He's running after hearts filled with drowning in life. And man, he's running after you not to judge you, but to rescue you. Jesus, thank you for everything that you have done and everything you continue to do to bring us home. So I just want to give you 15 seconds just to say to God whatever you need to say to God and give praise and thanks. Just say it to him right now. And here's the deal. You might be here and you're like, listen, well, come on, Christian. What's God done for me? Let me tell you what God's done for you. And this might feel like a stretch. I mean, your life. And if you're here, you're not a Christian, let me tell you what God's done for you. He brought you right here, baby. He brought you right here so you can hear the story of everything he has done to bring you to this moment, in that scene, on this Sunday, so that you can hear that you are loved by God. And if you give your life to Jesus today, he's not going to take your life and you're going to miss out on all kinds of things. He's going to ruin your life. No, no, no. Jesus came to give you life. Jesus came to set you free. And if you give your life to Jesus today, what you'll get is freedom. Freedom from your past, present, and future, your sin. You'll be accepted and adopted into the family of God, but you've got to come to him. And you can come to him just as you are. And so if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, I just want to lead us in a prayer. This prayer is not magic words. You're not praying this to me. This is, I'm just trying to help you express to God what's happening on the inside. But today, if you want to be saved, you can be. Pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. Come into my life and save me today. God, I give my life to you for the very first time. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for coming back from the dead for me. Jesus, I give my life to you right now. Be my Lord and my Savior. There's the deal. You just pray that prayer. That prayer is not a one-time prayer. When you pray it, and then you wait for the kingdom. Live however you want until then. But that is a prayer that says, Jesus, I want to start living for you right now. I want to start following you right now. So here's the deal. If you just pray that prayer, or maybe you didn't, got questions about it, in just a minute, I'm going to ask everybody to fill out what we call a connection card. There's a box on there that says, I gave my life to Christ. Check that box. We'd love to talk to you. If you've got questions about what it means to know and follow Jesus, come up to these. Come up to our prayer counselors. They'll be here after our service. I'll be out there in the lobby up the right there. We'd love to help you know and follow Jesus today. Jesus, I thank you that it is your sheer mercy that brought us right here today. At the beginning of Advent, right here in the middle of a world where every day it seems like things are getting darker and darker and there is no hope, Jesus, we are reminded this first Sunday of Advent. Hope has come and it is come. So, Jesus, we set our hearts on you. And guys, we move into a time of receiving our offering. Father, I pray that you would bless what's given. God, you would do more with the offering than we could ask or imagine, God, in these streets and hazards and beyond, also in our own hearts. So, God, whether we get here, whether we get online, God, I pray that it is through generosity that you would change us today. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hey, right now, I know some of you have been asked to help us receive the offering. You can come and you can get in place. As they're doing that, we want to invite you to grab your connection card. That is the card that's in the back of the seat in front of you. And so you can grab that card and fill it out as much as you'd like. You can drop it in the offering baskets as they go around. And if you miss those baskets, I'll be at the welcome area. You can turn those in. Sit tight. I've got a couple of things to share with you. We've already prayed over the offering, so you guys can go ahead and begin to receive that. If you're not prepared to give here, you can give online. Now, hey, listen. Before we let you go, I want to share a couple of things with you, okay? So we're moving into the Christmas season. A couple of things to know about. December the 10th is our Christmas family fun night. A lot of you came to our fall family fun night. It was a huge thing for our church. It was a blast. We're doing a Christmas one with all kinds of Christmas events, and man, we're going to announce more about that, but make plans to bring you, your family, everybody to the Christmas Family Fun Night, December the 10th, and then on Christmas Eve is a Sunday this year, and so we're having one service at 11 on Christmas Eve, okay? Now, let's talk for a second. December 17th is our Christmas outreach event. That's for the families, the names that we've been given from LKLP and all kinds of other local school resource centers organizations, where we provide Christmas for needy families. December the 17th is our Christmas outreach event. On that table out there in the lobby, we have 19 families left. And so I want to challenge you to grab either a whole family or one person from that family. If you're here this morning and you're sitting with like a couple of families and you guys are tight, hey, maybe you want to go in on a family or two. And just make that a thing. You go shopping for them together. But we have 19 families left. Okay? Data is already out there. If you have questions about any about the gifts, when do you bring the gifts? And if you just have questions in general, go out there and ask. But we've got 19 families, and I'm challenging you. If you have not taken a family, not taken a couple names, they're out there for you. But man, this event is one of the most beautiful things that we get to be a part of every year. And so I want to invite you to be a part of it. And so those names are on that table. If you want to volunteer for the December 17th event, come up to us at the welcome area. We can put your name down on the list. All right? Hey, guys, listen. Love you. God bless you. You're dismissed. See you. Thanks. Okay.
What are you doing? You don't do nothing. You just let it go.
It takes like 4 seconds and it just stops.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to do at this point.
You don't want to touch your switch.
Exactly. You listen to Drake.
That's what I'm listening to right now.
Oh, yeah, all you do is just turn off the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
You want
to be one of the others? Yeah, turn it on.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
So, you might have to shut that down.